10 years ago, Hurricane Katrina slammed into the southern U.S. state of Louisiana, killing 1,800 people, displacing more than 1 million others, and causing $110 billion in damage. An economics professor says the lessons learned from Katrina should be applied elsewhere in the world, where tens of millions of people live in coastal areas. About 60 million poor people live in low-elevation zones, 10 meters or less above sea level. It means they're particularly vulnerable to large storms and rising seas. They're concentrated in 15 countries: Nigeria, Senegal, Mozambique, India, Bangladesh, Myanmar, and Cambodia, as well as Pakistan, Iraq, Brazil, China, Indonesia, the Philippines, Vietnam, and Thailand. About 2.5 billion people live within 100 kilometers of the coast. Most are in developing countries. In 2005, Hurricane Katrina wreaked havoc not only on Louisiana, but along much of the Gulf of Mexico. University of Wyoming professor Edward Barbier says Katrina showed how important it is to have a coastal management strategy. He says it addresses two types of impacts.
One type of impact is the short-term natural disasters that we see routinely, such as hurricanes, storm surges, and so forth. And the second is the long-term consequences of climate change for our coasts, such as sea level rise, storm intensification, saltwater intrusion, and coastal erosion.
Barbier was part of a science and engineering board that worked on the 2012 Coastal Master Plan for Louisiana. He says besides addressing the immediate and longer-term impact threats, it contained three important elements.
One is gray infrastructure, the other is green infrastructure, and the third is social infrastructure. Gray infrastructure are the conventional engineered solutions to protecting the coast, such as building seawalls, dikes, and levees, and so forth. The second type of infrastructure is the green infrastructure. There's been tremendous loss of coastal habitats, such as marshes and coral reefs and oyster reefs, due to population change, economic development, and, of course, climate change.
Barbier says there's now an emphasis on revitalizing and restoring this green infrastructure as a natural coastal defense.
And then the third thing that's very important is to involve coastal communities, politicians, stakeholders, business people, and so forth in the design and implementation of these plans. And by building social infrastructure, not only do you improve the capacity of local communities to understand the consequences of not doing these plans and the need for them, but also to gain popular support for this long-term coastal planning strategy.
He says many developing countries do not have such plans in place.
Developing countries are seeing tremendous amount of development of their coastlines, both for economic development as well as for absorbing more and more people. And the consequences are that there are many populations in low-lying coastal areas of developing countries that are highly vulnerable to both natural hazards such as hurricanes as well as long-term effects of climate change.
Here in the United States, coastal areas are prime real estate, where much housing and development has taken place.
Hurricane Katrina, Hurricane Sandy in 2012 brought home to the United States many people that this trade-off has to be dealt with, and we have to think carefully about building along coastlines and being more vulnerable as a consequence. In developing countries, what we're seeing is an emphasis on economic development, and the coastlines are at the forefront of economic development. But they're also at the forefront of climate change and natural hazards.
The low elevation zones are the first to flood in heavy rains or a storm surge.
These are the areas that are going to be most inundated gradually due to sea level rise due to climate change, as well as saltwater intrusion, which affects agriculture in coastal areas and fisheries, of course, and also storm intensification.
Predicting how much seas will rise due to climate change is difficult, and projections vary. For example, National Geographic says forecasts range from less than a meter to more than 2 meters by the end of the century. That's enough to cause major problems for coastal cities and communities in the United States. National Geographic also says predictions get more dire if there's a complete meltdown of the Greenland ice sheet. Now, as sea levels rise, so does the world's population. The United Nations predicts that by the year 2100, there will be more than 11 billion people on the planet.
There is a lot of evidence to suggest that if current trends continue, we're going to see people living within coastal areas, that is within 100 kilometers of coast, grow from 200 million to over 400 million by the end of the century, which means more people who will be vulnerable. Also, incredible growth of cities, many of which are going to be in coastal low-lying areas, which will also be vulnerable.
Professor Barbier says the Indian Ocean tsunami in 2004, Hurricanes Katrina and Rita in 2005, Hurricane Sandy in 2012, and Typhoon Haiyan in the Philippines in 2013 have provided enough evidence that coastal areas are at risk. Barbier has written a commentary in the journal Nature entitled Hurricane Katrina's Lessons for the World. He proposes that some of the billions of dollars UN member states have allocated for climate adaptation be used for coastal management strategies. Joe DiCapua, VOA News, Washington.